Ephesians chapter 4, we'll start with verse 11. Our focus is going to be on verse 15, but we'll start reading in verse 11. And he himself gave some to be apostles, some prophets, some evangelists, and some pastors and teachers for the equipping of the saints, for the work of ministry, for the edifying of the body of Christ, till we all come to the unity of the faith and of the knowledge of the Son of God, to a perfect man, to the measure of the stature of the fullness of Christ, that we should no longer be children, tossed to and fro and carried about with every wind of doctrine, by the trickery of men, in the cunning craftiness of deceitful plotting, but, speaking the truth in love, may grow up in all things into him who is the head, Christ, from whom the whole body, joined and knit together by what every joint supplies, according to the effective working by which every part does its share, causes growth of the body for the edifying of itself in love. Let's pray. Father, thank you that we can gather together this morning. Thank you for the opportunity to worship you, the opportunity to pray, and now the opportunity to give our attention to your word. Lord, you promised that the Holy Spirit would be our teacher. We pray that you would teach us this morning things that would be profitable for us, and that you would grant us the faith to believe what you say and to put it in practice in our lives. In Jesus' name, amen. So a few weeks ago, we finished our study through 2 Kings, and we began a series, not through another book, but examining a particular idea, and that is that God has a plan for each of us to grow to maturity. And so we talked about what that would look like in our introductory teaching, and then we looked at, well, what are the requirements to grow to maturity? And the very first one is, you've got to be alive. If you want to grow to physical maturity, you've got to be physically alive. If you want to grow to spiritual maturity, you've got to be spiritually alive. And so we looked at what it means to be born again. And so we talked about that, and we saw how there are counterfeits to that. There are substitutes that people accept rather than new life in Christ. But we examined what it means to be born again and how you can know. But then the second requirement to grow to physical maturity, as well as to grow to spiritual maturity, is to be healthy, to have good health. You have to have good physical health if you're going to reach your full physical potential. You need good spiritual health if you're going to reach your full spiritual potential. And so we examined last week what it means to have that health. What are some of the dangers that face us, the spiritual diseases or infirmities, if you will, that we need to address? And we looked at, in both of these sessions, we looked at the life of a child as an illustration for us to learn and understand these truths better. We saw how when a child is born, one of the first things that the parents and the doctors and the nurses do is look at that child and think, is this child whole? Is this child healthy? And if not, what is it going to take to get this child whole and healthy? And so this morning, what we're going to do is move on from that, and something that happens in parallel to that when a baby is born is what? We seek to give that child what it needs to grow, which starts out with what? Nourishment, right? So this morning we want to look at a number of things that enable us to grow, because we want to grow, even as we saw in Colossians, we want to grow to what Paul calls perfection, or would better probably be translated as maturity or completeness or a state of being full grown. In the spiritual realm, that's what should be our goal. And so, as we go through this series, my hope is that each of you will be examining yourself and saying, okay, do I really have this maturity as my goal? Have I truly been born again? Am I sure? Do I have assurance from God? Am I spiritually healthy? If not, what do I need to do about that? And now, am I making use of the means to grow? So, this morning, let's look at these things regarding our growth. Now, we'll be jumping to a number of different scriptures, but we're going to come back to this passage in Ephesians. So if you can keep track of that and follow along with the various scriptures, that's great. If not, at least hold on to this passage in Ephesians. The first one I want us to look at is from in Luke chapter 2. And one of the things I want us to see here is that growth occurs in a number of different areas. We've talked primarily about physical growth, and we've also talked about spiritual growth. But the very last verse in Luke chapter 2 speaks of the growth of Jesus in an interesting way. Luke 2:52 says, "And Jesus increased in wisdom and stature and in favor with God and men." And Jesus increased. He grew in wisdom and stature and in favor with God and in favor with men. Well, when you think about these four things that it says Jesus grew in, what do you see? Well, wisdom, that has to do with the intellect. He was growing in terms of what he knew and what he understood. Now, this can cause us problems when we realize that Jesus is God born in human flesh. But as we saw in Philippians, he laid aside the privileges of godhood and had to grow even as a baby grows to maturity. So he grew in wisdom. He also grew in stature. So he grew intellectually. He grew physically. He also grew in favor with God and men. So in his favor with men, you can see he's growing socially. A child needs to grow, not just physically, but intellectually and socially. And then in favor with God, he grew spiritually. Now, it's hard for us, again, to wrap our minds around this. Jesus being God, come in human flesh, having room to grow, he didn't have any room to grow in the sense of his godhood. He was completely God. There was nothing lacking in his deity. But he was born a baby. There's a lot of room for growth from a baby to a man, isn't there? And so just as you can see on his human side, he had a need to grow physically. On his human side, he had a need to grow intellectually and socially. So here we see a number of different categories for growth. We're going to focus in this whole series on our spiritual growth, but we should keep in the back of our minds that God wants us growing in every way. Well, most of us, he doesn't want growing physically anymore. Most of us, he looks at and he says, you've grown enough physically, and you really shouldn't be growing anymore at all. But he wants us to continue to grow intellectually in our understanding of truth, socially in our relationships with others, and spiritually in our relationship with him. But we're especially going to focus on spiritual growth. And one of the things we want to look at is, how do we do this? How do we do this? So we already talked about one of the key things in spiritual growth, as in physical growth, is nourishment. That's such a key that that's where we want to spend the most of our time this morning. But before we go to that, let's think about a number of other things, a number of other factors that ought to be in place for our growth to be maximized. So let's take the illustration of a baby again. What besides nourishment, what besides health, does a baby need in order to grow to maturity? Well, a baby needs exercise. And they just automatically get exercise, don't they? Sometimes it's like, I wish this baby would stop exercising so I can get a little rest. But, you know, babies just naturally, they're moving. And they're not just moving, right? At first, it kind of seems random. We talked about our firstborn lying on her back, like looking like a sea anemone with her arms and her legs. Just, was it her first one or second one? I lose track. Anyway, you know, the motion seems rather random. But what's happening is they're gaining control over their limbs, over their body. They're exercising their muscles. And before you know it, you know, they're rolling over, and then they're crawling, and then they're walking, and then they're running. And some of us seem like we started running before we even started walking. And by then, the parents are going, how am I going to get through this? But they do. But this is an important part of growing, isn't it? If you had a baby that never did these things, what would you do? Say something's wrong. I got to get this baby to a doctor to be checked out because they're not moving the way they should. And when you think about physical growth, you see the need for this, right? We talk about this as adults when we're trying to grow stronger. We say things like no pain, no gain. You know, it's the breaking down of the muscles that allow the muscles to rebuild themselves stronger than they were. And how does that breaking down come? It comes through exercise, and that's what spurs on the growth of muscles. Now, most of us, even though we don't want to grow any in our weight, could probably use to grow a little bit in our muscles. But that's a sermon for another day and for another venue, because we're going to focus on the spiritual realm. We don't like getting convicted about how we eat and stuff like that. So one of the requirements for growth is exercise. Makes sense. Well, what's another one? Going along with that is rest, right? Even as when we exercise our muscles as adults, we need to rest them afterwards so they can rebuild. A child needs rest. Now, translate these two things to the spiritual realm. There ought to be activity going on in the spiritual realm when we're spiritually alive. There will be. If there's not motion, if there's not movement, if there's not growth in the spiritual realm, something is wrong. If we think we've been born again and then there's no movement from there, maybe we haven't been born again, and maybe we should look back at what that means. For a healthy baby, we'll be moving and resting. A healthy soul, spiritually, there will be motion, there will be exercise, there will be work, there will be a growing of control over ourselves and a development, just as in the physical realm, there's this development of motor skills, there will be development of our spiritual skills, if you will, but there will also be rest. One of the sweetest things about a baby is when they hit that point where they finally give up fighting you and they just kind of collapse on your shoulder. Isn't that it's kind of an amazing experience? You guys, most of you know that. And it's like, you know, the baby's like, settle down. And finally, they just kind of go, and they rest on your shoulder. And it's just kind of a wonderful thing. Am I alone in this? I'm not alone in this, am I? Okay, you guys, you're not thinking I'm weird because I like this. Okay, some of you. But anyway, it's an amazing thing. Okay, what's going on? The baby needs rest, but sometimes they fight it, don't they? In the spiritual realm, we must rest in God. We must rest in Him. We don't just exercise. We don't just constantly work. We cannot force ourselves to grow. Right, we cannot, you know, it's like I'm gonna get bigger. I'm gonna push myself. You know, it doesn't happen. Why? What did we see in Ephesians when we read through that? The growth is from God. He's the one that causes the growth. So, how do we grow? You know, we make use of the means of growth, but the growth comes from God. It's just like a child. You know, when I was little, man, I so wanted to grow. But what could I do about it? Well, I could eat, I could exercise, I could rest, I could get fresh air. I did all those things. I still didn't grow. Right? Well, eventually I did, right? Eventually it happened, but it just didn't seem like it was happening the way I thought it should be. And guess what? I couldn't make it happen. It's just a part of how we're designed and how we're built. So I read an interesting little story this morning about a kid who buys a chicken, a hen, and he wants eggs, and he gets the first egg, and he's really disappointed because it was a small chicken, it was a small egg. And so what does he do? He wants bigger eggs. So he goes down to the pet store, and he buys an ostrich egg. And he comes back, and he sets that ostrich egg before this hen, and he says, look at this egg. You can do a lot better than you're doing. It's like, guess what's going to happen? You're going to get another small egg. Why? Because hens are not designed to lay ostrich eggs, right? It's just not part of their design. So there's a growth that's built into us through our DNA, and we can hinder it. We can facilitate it, but we can't make it happen. And in the spiritual realm, sometimes we're in a rush to make things happen, or we're trying to make things happen that really aren't our responsibility, right? It's God that's going to bring the growth. You lay the groundwork for it in making use of the means he's allowed, but you can't force it. You know, sometimes we get impatient. We think, man, I ought to be so much more mature than I am. I hope I'm not the only one that feels this way, that I ought to be so much more mature than I am. But we can't make it happen. What we can do, though, is make use of the means that God has given us so that we will grow, but we've got to rest in him, and we've got to allow him to do his work in us and take the time that he wants. And then another thing that a child needs, which might not immediately jump to your mind, but a child needs love. And we can all affirm that, and studies have shown that children who are neglected, babies who are neglected, suffer for it and don't develop properly. And if that's true even in the physical, emotional, social realm, of course it's true in the spiritual realm. But here's something that I think we stumble on frequently, is that we don't really come to a proper understanding of God's love for us. We think it depends on what we do. We think it depends on how we perform. We think it depends on what kind of giftings we have, you know, whether we're more intelligent than other people or better looking or more athletic or more talented or we grew up here and not there or we have more money or whatever, or our knowledge of the Bible or how hard we work at church or whatever it is. All these things can interfere with our appreciation of God's love for us if we think that love depends on what we do. We've got to be aware of that. Why? Because God is unchanging, and God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son. That's God's love. Did it depend on the world? No. God's love was from eternity. He's proven it to us by giving his Son, and we see that in Romans. He demonstrated his own love toward us in that while we were still sinners, Christ died for us. Now, we're tempted continually to believe that if I'm less of a sinner, God will love me more. You know what? His love doesn't change. Your experience of it will. Just like your experience of the love of someone who loves you will change if you turn your back on them and walk away from them, guess what? Your experience of their love is going to diminish quickly. And if you do that with God, your experience of his love will diminish. But you're walking away from someone who loves you doesn't mean they don't love you. And you're turning your back on God and his love doesn't mean that he stopped loving you. He still loves you the same. And it's important for us to get this because this is the atmosphere in which we grow, is this recognition of just how much God loves us. And he said, nothing can separate us from his love. It won't stop. It won't diminish. All that we can be separated from is the experience of his love. So we've got to understand that and recognize that that's part of the atmosphere in which we grow. But now let's go back to this idea of nourishment. If you turn to 1 Peter chapter 2, and you know, if you don't know where all these are, you don't have to turn, just listen and make sure you get the idea of the verse as I read it. But if you know where they are and have time, it's good to read it for yourself. Let's start with 1 Peter chapter 2, verse 2. Peter writes, "As newborn babes, desire the pure milk of the word, that you may grow thereby." As newborn babes, desire the pure milk of the word, that you may grow thereby. Now, we all understand newborn babies grow by the milk. And the first thing that we recognize is that a newborn has an appetite for milk. There is this natural desire built into a newborn baby for his mother's milk, and you need to give them that milk as soon as you're able. That's something that God has designed into a baby. Well, guess what? He designs it into a spiritual baby too. Do you recognize this about yourself? For those of us who came to the Lord a little bit later in life, where we can pin it down, you know, we didn't grow up believing in a church where we already believed and had been born again at some point, but at some point in our life, God got a hold of us. What happened? I could hardly believe it that I wanted to read the Bible. I couldn't believe what was in there. It's like, oh, wow, look at this verse. And I had read a bunch of the Bible beforehand, but all of a sudden, it was different. It was doing something in my soul, right? If you fed a dead body, how much good would it do it? It wouldn't, right? So when a child, when a baby is born, there's an appetite there that's natural. When a person is born again, there's an appetite there that God has designed in us, and we should have it. Unfortunately, it's really easy to spoil a child's appetite, isn't it? It's easy to give them something that's a substitute that's less nourishing than what they need. My mom was telling me this all the time when I was a kid. Why? Because I loved candy. You know, I got my nickel allowance. This is how old I am. My allowance for a while was a nickel. And I would run down to the store and buy a candy bar. You could buy a candy bar for a nickel. And then after a while, I started buying baseball cards instead. But that's a whole different story. But my mom would always tell me, don't spoil your appetite for dinner. And it's like, who cares? I had a candy bar here. Who cares about dinner? So what was I doing? I was proving her point. And maybe that's part of the reason I didn't grow the way I wanted to. But it's easy to spoil your appetite. Have you noticed how many things in this life spoil our appetite for God's word? I mean, just examine your life. Do you have what seems like a healthy appetite for God's word? If you don't, what are you feeding on instead? I mean, think about what we're fed in our culture. You know, all the videos, the television, the movies, the music, the newspapers, magazines, books, you know, just constantly we're bombarded with things that we fill our minds with such that there's not much hunger frequently for God's word. So if you look at your life and you think, wow, I'm probably not as mature as I ought to be at this stage of my Christian life, how's your nourishment? Are you getting the nourishment you need from God's word? As newborn babes, desire the pure milk of the word that you may grow thereby. You may grow by what you take in. Spiritually, you must take in the word of God in order to grow by it. And if you find that you don't have a healthy appetite for God's word, you need to step back and think, why? Why? Because that's natural in the spiritual realm, is to have an appetite for God's word. And you can make this a matter of prayer. Remember my brother-in-law, when I was a young believer, gave me this little list of things to pray before you read the Bible, and one of them was to have a healthy appetite. That's something you can pray. God, give me a healthy appetite for your word. So if you don't have a healthy appetite, pray about it, examine what you are partaking of and what's filling your mind and your heart rather than the word of God. Notice another thing about this verse. Two types of food are mentioned. Well, one is mentioned and another is implied. The pure milk of the word. What do babies feed on? Milk. Milk. They don't have any teeth, right? You don't give a baby a nice slice of steak. You're going to waste the steak and it's going to be bad for the baby. You give a baby milk. But a time comes when they begin to need solid food. And it's just the same way in the spiritual realm. We've got to make sure we get the basics, the basic nourishment that we need, that we understand the gospel, that we understand how we're saved, that we understand why we're saved, that we understand that we can't add to our salvation. It's a gift that we've received. We get this clear. And that's part of the foundation of our future growth. So be careful that you don't try to move on too quickly. Right? This is, again, a temptation in our Christian walk, is we think that the more we know, the more mature we are. And so it's very tempting to move on from the milk of the word to the meat of the word and think, well, I'm more mature because I'm eating meat now. But if you haven't got the nourishment that you need and the growth that comes from the milk of the word, then it's not going to help you the way that it should. Let's look at this just a little bit more. 1 Corinthians chapter 3. 1 Corinthians chapter 3, Paul writes to the church there and says, "And I, brethren, could not speak to you as to spiritual people, but as to carnal, as to babes in Christ." So Paul came to the people at the church in Corinth. He wanted to speak to them as mature spiritually, but he realized he needed to speak to them as if they were babies in Christ. "I fed you with milk and not with solid food. For until now you were not able to receive it, and even now you are still not able, for you are still carnal or fleshly. For where there are envy, strife, and divisions among you, are you not carnal and behaving like mere men?" So what do we see here? Well, we see that there are two kinds of food. There's milk and then there's meat. There's solid food. And the solid food is not for the babies. The babies, those who are immature, need the milk. And what is a sign of immaturity? It's strife, envy, divisions, behaving as if you were still a fallen person, living after the desires of the flesh. Those are symptoms of immaturity. Does that make sense? And so if you want to be able to move on to the solid food, you deal with those issues of immaturity and you make sure you understand the gospel. There's another passage that's similar to this in Hebrews chapter 5. In Hebrews chapter 5, starting with verse 12, it's written, "For though by this time you ought to be teachers, you need someone to teach you again the first principles of the oracles of God, and you have come to need milk and not solid food." So the first principles, the principles of the gospel and of growth in Christ, those need to be settled in our lives because they're foundational for our future growth. "You've come to need milk and not solid food." People can go backwards spiritually, can't they? "For everyone who partakes only of milk is unskilled in the word of righteousness, for he is a babe. But solid food belongs to those who are of full age, that is, those who by reason of use have their senses exercised to discern both good and evil." So what do we see here? The movement from milk to meat comes as a part of our growth, and it comes as we've dealt with the foundational issues in our lives, as we've understood the foundational principles of God and of the gospel, but also as we've practiced their use, as we've practiced dealing with the word, as we've practiced discerning between good and evil. If you had a baby, and that baby just allowed you to feed it first milk and then baby food, and that baby never tried to feed itself, would you be concerned? Yeah, you would. Because isn't that something that they start really early? You know, you start putting the spoon in their mouth, and what do? They want that spoon. And then at some point, you have to kind of give them that spoon and keep filling it with food because it's all over. Why? They're learning to feed themselves. They have to learn to feed themselves. If you never let your baby learn to feed themselves, their growth is going to be stunted, isn't it? It's the same way in the spiritual realm, right? How do we know a person physically is mature? You know, well, it's obvious because of their physical growth. But if you had someone sit down before you, you invited them over to dinner and gave them a plate of food, and they said, are you going to cut my meat for me? You'd think, And it's like, you know, you try not to make them feel too bad, so maybe you take all the plates back and cut everybody's meat, and then you bring it out to them, and they look at it, and they say, aren't you going to feed me? You think, something's wrong here. And yet, we're okay with that in the spiritual realm a lot of times. It's like, well, I'll go to church, the pastor will feed me there. Should be feeding ourselves, shouldn't we? We should be growing to the point where we've been nourished enough, we've understood enough of the word that day by day we're feeding ourselves. That doesn't mean we stop going to church, right? There are purposes in us gathering together. And if you'll notice, if you've been here for a while, what do we try to do when we're feeding you the word is we try to make sure there's milk there. The gospel is always presented and explained just a little bit differently so you get the foundation of it, but also so that there's solid food for those who are growing in, and there's meat, there's stuff. I want to leave you with something to chew on every Sunday, no matter how mature you are. I want to leave you with something to chew on. And that should be something that you should aspire to, is to grow to that place where you're not only feeding yourselves, but you're able to prepare meals for others and help them learn to feed themselves. And this growth should just be spreading throughout the body of Christ, the church as a whole. Let's look at one more aspect here. Colossians chapter 2. Colossians chapter 2 and verse 19. He's talking about people being cheated of their reward. People who delight in false humility, worship of angels, etc. And what do they not do? And not holding fast to the head, from whom all the body, nourished and knit together by joints and ligaments, grows with the increase that is from God. A couple of things we need to see here. There's a growth that is from God, and that's what we want. But what does that imply? That implies that there's a growth that's not from God. Interesting, isn't it? Now, in the physical realm, we've had our eyes open to this over the last 20 years or so through steroids and human growth hormones. There's an unnatural growth that can occur in a human body, and it enables guys to hit huge home runs and stuff like that. But it's not a natural growth. We can grow in ways that are not natural. For an example, in 1 Corinthians chapter 8, verse 1, Paul says, "We know that we all have knowledge. Knowledge puffs up, but love edifies. Love builds up. Love causes growth. But knowledge, if it's knowledge without love, what does it do? Puffs you up. Fills you with hot air. You may look bigger. You may look like you've grown, but there's no real growth there if there's no real love there. So there's a growth that's not from God. But there's a growth that is from God, and the whole body plays a part in it as every individual in the body clings to the head. The growth comes from the head. The head directs everything in the body. Who's the head of the body? It's Jesus. He's got to be always looked at as the head. The pastor's not the head of the body. Jesus is the head of the body, and he's the head of the whole body of Christ, not just our local expression of it. And so in the church body, there's all kinds of work that's going on behind the scenes, just like there is in the physical body. The physical body, there are all these systems that are delivering the nutrients where they're needed, breaking them down, putting them into the bloodstream, spreading them throughout the body, collecting the waste, eliminating the waste. The body is working together so that the whole body can grow. It's just an incredible design that God has created for our human bodies. Well, it's the same way in the spiritual realm. Every part has a part to play in the work of the body growing and being nourished. And a lot of that is behind the scenes. But when you think about it, you realize how much goes on for even a church body to function adequately. I mean, how would you feel if no one had cleaned this sanctuary for the last 6 months? You might not be real happy. You would probably be distracted by things that would make it hard for you to learn the way that you need to learn. How would you feel if no one had paid the bills in the last 6 months? Well, we might not even be here, right? There's a lot that goes on behind the scenes in a church for it to work. So the whole body plays a part in the nourishment of souls, and everyone has a part to play, whether it's inside the local expression of the body or outside in part of the universal church as it works throughout the community and throughout the world. We all have a part to play, but we need to have this growth that's from God. not fueled by hot air or pride. So what do we need to do to make sure we're growing? We need to continue to feed ourselves. We need to continue to be nourished in the Word. Paul wrote to Timothy in 2 Timothy chapter 3, verses 14 to 17. He says, "You must continue in the things which you have learned and been assured of, knowing from whom you have learned them, and that from childhood you have known the Holy Scriptures, which are able to make you wise for salvation through faith, which is in Christ Jesus. All Scripture is given by inspiration of God and is profitable for doctrine, for reproof, for correction, for instruction in righteousness, that the man of God may be complete, thoroughly equipped for every good work." How are we going to become complete? It's through the impartation of the truth of God's Word. And that Word is going to help teach us the truth, doctrine, is going to reprove us when we go astray, is going to correct us, get us back on the right track, and it's going to equip us, it's going to train us, it's going to push us forward. But we've got to be feeding ourselves on the Word of God. We've got to be feeding ourselves. But again, it can't just be head knowledge, because that'll just puff you up. And I can testify to that. I've been there. So it's got to be something that's motivated by love, and you put it into practice. You use it. So let's go back to Ephesians now and look at this passage one more time. Now that we've gone through these other verses and have understood more about what's going on, in Ephesians chapter 4, Paul is writing about the unity of the body of Christ here on earth. In verse 11, he gave some to be apostles, some prophets, some evangelists, and some pastors and teachers. He gave different roles, different gifts to people to fulfill roles in the body of Christ. What for? For the equipping of the saints for the work of ministry. Who does the work of ministry in this church? The believers. If you think the pastors and the staff do the work of ministry in this church, you're off base. The work of the ministry is done by the saints, by those who believe in Christ Jesus. The pastors and the staff are here to equip you for that work. So we've got to get that straight. What is this work? For the edifying, the building up of the body of Christ, till we all come to what? To the unity of the faith. So we have a oneness in what we believe about Jesus Christ, what has been revealed to us, and of the knowledge of the Son of God. We know him personally. We don't just know about Jesus. We know him personally. We have a relationship with him. To a perfect man, a mature person, a complete, a full-grown person. Here's the goal again. We're all to grow to fullness, to maturity, to the measure of the stature of the fullness of Christ. Here's how you know when you're completely done growing. You're completely like Jesus. Wow. That should wake us up a little bit, shouldn't it? Because we can say, I'm mature compared to most people. You know, I've gotten to the point of feeding myself. I'm doing well. And say, that's good enough. It's not good enough. Not until you are like Jesus are you fully grown. That's the goal here. The measure of the stature of the fullness of Christ. That we should no longer be children. There's a time to be children. There's a time to be done with it. Children tossed to and fro and carried about with every wind of doctrine. New believers often don't understand the difference between Christianity and the cults, the Christianity and other religions, Christianity and the secular things that are being taught. We shouldn't be left as children. We should grow to the point where we're not tossed to and fro by these things, carried about with every wind of doctrine, by the trickery of men. We should be able to discern between good and evil, right? By the practice of the Word of God, we should be able to come to this point where we discern between good and evil, truth and falsehood, so we're not carried away by this trickery, the cunning craftiness of deceitful plotting. But what are we to do? But speaking the truth in love, may grow up in all things into him who is the head, Christ. That's something for the whole body of Christ. Everyone in our local expression of the body, everyone in the whole body of Christ should be doing what? Speaking the truth in love so that we grow up in Christ. Now, some people find it really easy to speak the truth without love. Some people find it very easy to be loving while ignoring the truth. It's got to be both. Speaking the truth in love, that's how we're all going to grow together into Him who is the head, Christ. And He's going to cause what? The whole body, joined and knit together by what every joint supplies, everyone supplies love that comes from God that knits us together according to the effective working by which every part does its share. Every part causes growth of the body for the edifying or building up of itself in love. So it's the truth and it's love. It's the truth in love that's really going to make a difference in our lives. And so we recognize the love of God. We go to His Word. We saturate our souls with it. And we become spiritually nourished. And through that nourishment, we're able to grow. We grow to the point of learning to feed ourselves, learning to prepare our own meals, learning to feed others, and working together as a body that we may do the work of ministry and all grow, and God will bring us the growth. Bring us the growth as a fellowship, bring us the growth as individuals. But the main thing is that if we as individuals are growing in the Lord, the fellowship is growing the way God wants it to, because the growth comes from Him. And the purpose of that is not to glorify any individual. It's not to say, oh, wow, you know, I grew a lot because this guy was such a great preacher. No, you grew a lot because God caused you growth. He is merciful to give you the truth of His Word. And that growth should bring Him glory. So that's our goal. Let's continue to grow together into greater Christ-likeness. Shall we pray? Father, thank You for Your Word. Thank You for the nourishment of Your Word. Thank You for what You teach us. Thank You for how You reprove us and correct us and train us. Lord, we want to receive all that You have for us. We want to grow to be the people You want us to be. We don't want to settle for anything less than what You have for us. And we want to be a part of Your work in this world. Lord, there's so much that needs to be done. Work in us, make us like You, grow us in You, grow us to maturity in You, grow us in Christ-likeness so that You can be glorified in us. Lord, thank You for what You're going to do. Give us a healthy appetite. Give us a fresh appetite for Your Word, for truly feeding on it, not just learning about it or learning its contents, but for feeding on it. Show us what that means and how to do it. For Your glory we pray, in Jesus' name, amen.